video up here about the real Christmas movie this week.
To do this to you, but you think you can help me pick up the slack on those Etch-a-Sketches?
No problem.
I appreciate it. Buddy is killing me. Ernie got Lum Lum and Choo Choo pulling doubles.
Just quick thinking yesterday with that special talents thing.
I feel bad for the guy. Just hope he doesn't get wise.
Well, if he hasn't figured out he's a human by now, I don't think he ever will.
I think they're too small.
You don't look so good, buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be okay. I just need a glass of water.
That's a great scene. Welcome to church, everybody. I figured everybody would be enjoying that scene a little more than they did. Sorry about that. Welcome into the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad that you chose to be with us. If you're visiting, if you're new online, welcome. My name's Ryan, and I have the honor and privilege of being on staff here at River Ridge and sharing this stage with a lot of great people. And we have an exciting message. I believe that God's given me something that is pretty timely for the season, and not just for the season, but maybe in the series that we're in. Where, if you're new here, we don't watch movie scenes before all of our messages. Not that church. But we are in this series called A Real Christmas, where we're looking at, Blair set me up really well for it. We're looking at movies, Christmas movies that are maybe entwined in your family's DNA of this time of year, and we're looking at how the Christmas story can align and how we can pull out spiritual and biblical truths from these movies that mean so much to us. And I'll be honest with you, Andy approached me with this message, and he was like, hey, this is the series, I'd like you to share a message in it. And I was hesitant at first because I'm not a big movie guy. I don't really like movies that much, and here's why. It's not because I dislike movies a lot. It's that I have this really cool thing, maybe you've heard of it. It's called ADHD. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should try to watch a movie with it. It is very difficult. And so, like, you know, I sit down to watch a movie, and before you know it, I haven't worked out in 5 years. I'm doing push-ups. I'm, like, cleaning stuff. Like, I can't focus on movies very well. And so, but I love this movie. As soon as he told me that I was talking about Elf, I was like, oh, I love this movie. I've watched this movie countless times, and it somehow always comes up in this season that I end up rewatching Elf. And here's why I like Christmas movies. If I were able to watch them, this is what I think that, and I still can understand the truth of them, is that Christmas stories, Christmas movies have this cool way of maybe saying things that, like, hit harder or different in some ways. And I don't know whether it's like the season, we're just super expectant, or what it is. Maybe we know it so much, so we know what scene's coming, but it still means a lot to us when we hear it. But here's what I know, is that there's a lot of truths in Christmas movies. And the one truth that I think is really interesting is one that we're gonna talk about today. And in this scene, what we watched was Buddy experiencing and learning for the first time that he's not an elf, that he's actually human, and he finds it out maybe some of the ways you all have heard people talking about you in situations. And he hears them, and he hears the words that they're saying, and in that split moment, nothing really different changed except everything within him. And those shoes that seem to fit really well start to be a little tighter. And that bed that he used to get a really nice night's rest in now seems too small and uncomfortable. And those toys that he thought he was doing such a good job with in the workshop, his eyes are open to the fact that maybe his hands aren't small enough to do all the intricate work needed by the elves. And here's what I know, in a room this size and online, we've been here. We can relate to what Buddy's feeling right now, this feeling of feeling overlooked, feeling like we don't belong, feeling like we're devalued, feeling unwanted. I don't know where it is for you. Maybe it was you growing up. Maybe the way you grew up, maybe you grew up with siblings whose situations maybe outshadowed yours a little bit, good or bad. And you feel a little unseen. Maybe your mother or your father didn't love you the way that they should have. And for that, I'm sorry. But maybe that's you. Maybe because of experiences that you've had in your family, you feel overlooked. You feel like you don't belong anywhere. I experience this a lot with students, feeling like they don't belong, like they don't have a place. Maybe it was school for you. That's what it was for me. Maybe it was school where maybe you were moving a lot. Maybe you went to different schools, or maybe it was just the fact that you just always felt on the outside of everybody else on the inside. Maybe you ate alone at the lunch table. Maybe nobody invited you into their circle. Maybe people kept you at an arm distance because of the clothes you wore, the way you talked, or the house that you had. Maybe I'm not speaking to any of you. Maybe I'm speaking to you in your workplace. Maybe you've experienced this moment where people are in the break room and they're all talking, and as soon as you walk in, they stop talking and they look down and they walk out. Maybe it's in your workplace where you feel a little overlooked and you're only looked at for your performance and not for your value as a person. And you don't belong. You feel disconnected. Or maybe, God forbid, it's in a church. For many of you, you walked into a church at one point in your life and you were told that your experiences weren't welcome there. You were told that your vulnerability was not to be expressed. You were told that your struggle that you were walking through, they couldn't handle. So where do you go? My hope is that no one walks into this building, and just so you know, you're responsible for that just as well as I am, that nobody walks into this building and feels that way. This is not that kind of church. Maybe you've felt that way. Here's what's cool about the Christmas story, though. That we could talk about movies only for a brief little bit because I don't have that much knowledge. But what's cool about the Christmas story, I know about the Christmas story, is that we see the same truth within the Christmas story. And what we're gonna look at this morning is what God did to show us that he can understand and come close and near to us in the things that we feel. In the places where we maybe find ourselves, where we feel alone, where we feel like we're not belonging, where we feel like we're disconnected, overlooked, unseen. God speaks into this, and from the scene of Elf all the way back to the Christmas story, here's the truth that we can understand is that belonging matters. Amen. If you go forward in the movie, you know this. If you didn't, spoiler alert, sorry, it doesn't give the whole thing away. If you haven't seen Elf by now, I'm ruining it for you. He actually leaves the North Pole and he goes to New York City. Why? To find belonging. To find that which he feels like he was disconnected from. And what we're gonna learn this morning, church, is that we will find a place. And it's our job to help people find their belonging. It's our job as we're led by the Holy Spirit to help people find that belonging. But the truth is that belonging matters a great deal. God's gone out of his way to show us that we are welcomed into his family. And the first way that Jesus shows that, or that God shows that, is by Jesus being able to relate to us. I'm gonna read you some scripture from Luke 2. This is the birth of Jesus Christmas account that we read every Christmas. We're gonna talk about it a little bit more. Chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5 says, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth, he was an outsider. His parents were outsiders. They were rejected. They were put in the cattle holding area, and they were put there because there was no room for them. They started out their lives as parents, as outsiders. And even before this moment, can you imagine what people looked at and thought of Mary and Joseph as they walked through town? She's crazy. There's no way that's true. He started out life on the outside. We're gonna read a little further in the Gospels. John 1:11, it says this, says he, Jesus, we're talking about Jesus, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Not only can Mary and Joseph relate to us in the story of Jesus, but Jesus himself relates to those that are on the outside, that are overlooked, that are marginalized. He looks at those people and he sees them. He was born into rejection. He has experience in not being accepted. Just like you and me. He's not foreign to it. And here's what we have to understand is that this is not just a storyline that God had to go by. This was created and ordained and rolled out by God himself, because Jesus could have come however he wanted. He could have come in robes and riches and status, and he could have had all of these things, and he could have sat in his ivory tower and he could have told everybody how to live, and he could have still redeemed us that way. I think when we understand the steps that were taken for us to be made right, the way that Jesus came in order so that even 2,000 plus years later, sitting in Taze Valley, West Virginia, that we would say, man, me too. I feel this. He understands, he gets us. The second thing Jesus relates, the second thing is that Jesus restores. Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you are unaware that Jesus restores, then come and find me afterwards and I can tell you a story. Amen. If I had time, I would tell you about how I used to have hate in my heart. If I had time, I would tell you about the ways that I was an enemy of God. And he saw fit to restore me. And we could come up here for hours of testimonies of people who God has taken from death to life, who he's restored. This is what John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. That's restoration. That's him restoring us. This is what we need to understand between Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. This is what it is. Jesus' birth brings God to us. Jesus' life shows God among us, and Jesus' death and resurrection brings God within us. Amen. This is the beautiful, beautiful, an unchanging restoration that God possesses. For those that were far from him now draw near. I wanna give you a bit of imagery. This came to me, just hit me first service, and I shared it, and I feel like it's really important. My father-in-law, he's a big car guy, and he restored this 19, I'm not gonna say the year because I'm gonna get it wrong. It was 1940 something, he'll make fun of me if I get it wrong. He restored this 1940 something Willys Jeep. Like not just a little bit, like fully took apart the engine, fully rebuilt it, painted it himself, still works on it, knows every single thing. He can hear one noise in the engine. He goes, oh yeah, it's that, goes and fixes it. He's fully restored it. It doesn't sit in the garage all the time. here's what he did different. He didn't even get antique plates on it. And if you know this, then if you don't know this, I'm gonna explain it to you. If you have antique plates, you can only drive at specific times, so on specific days, there's structure around it. He bought a regular license plate. Why? Because he's so proud of what he restored that he wants to show it off to everybody. God has paid a high price for you. And oftentimes what we do is we take our restoration and we pick it up when we sit in these seats, and then when we leave, we lay it down and we walk out and we don't share it with anyone. He's made this beautiful thing that at every moment he knows our every tick. And we keep it in the garage. Church, I'm here to tell you that God didn't just restore you, and Jesus didn't come to help you be restored for no purpose. He didn't restore you just so you could come here and go home and then come back next week and go home. He didn't do it for that. Do you know why he did it? I'm gonna tell you. He did it because Jesus receives. And if Jesus receives, we should receive. Understand why God restored you, why Jesus is in the restoration business. And it's because since he received us with such open arms, how much more should we be receiving all people with open arms, believing that their eternity matters now as much as it does after their heart stops beating? Amen. Jesus receives. Jesus came as an outsider to show us God's heart for everyone. Not just them, all of them. That's heavy sometimes to hear, all of them. See, when we were still enemies, Christ called us home. I believe that if this is the case, that the church should be a place where everyone is welcome. Everyone should come into this building and feel that they are being welcomed into the family of God, that they should be able to come and cry. They should mourn, they should rejoice, they should celebrate, they should weep. They should be able to do all of this. We should be able to do all of this in the name solely of taking next steps in our journey with Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Here's what I'm gonna tell you though, it can't stay here. Because this is a church. It's a building. You all, the church. Amen. And if we're going to receive people the way that God has received us, then that means it can't stay here. That the church should be a place where people feel welcomed, which means wherever you are residing, people are feeling a welcoming energy towards you. And I'm telling you, this time of year, it's hard to find sometimes. Jesus receives. Here's what I know though, and this is, I work with students, and our whole goal with students is to fire them up to want to make a difference in this world. Matt and I make this statement all the time with students. We want students so emboldened for Jesus that they're ready to run into hell with water pistols. That's what we say. We want them to be fired up, and I'm telling you that I'm not here to just gently say something to you. When you're invited, or when you accept Jesus into your heart, you invite him in to be Lord of your life. You have a different name on the back of your jersey. You're living for someone else. And I'm here to tell you that I know Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't weigh nothing. That the weight of the gospel should weigh on us so much that we have to unload it off onto somebody else. Amen. We have to get it out. We have to share somebody when we look at people in the eyes and we see hurt. We have to be willing to share in that weight. God has promised that he helps us carry when it's heavy, and he rejoices with us when it's light, but he is always there. Sometimes it looks like not returning evil for evil, receiving people and being like Jesus, where we receive. Sometimes it means not returning wrong for wrong, even though that person totally deserves it. Maybe it means giving of something that you actually don't feel like you have plenty of. Here's what I want to do this morning is I want to look at some things that during this Christmas season, these should all exist in your life outside of Christmas. But during this season, this is a really important time. And so we're going to look at three things that we can maybe have more of, give more of, in order to receive others well into this family and help them find belonging. And the first one is grace. I think that this was a very noticeable characteristic in the life of Jesus, that he was slow to speak. He was quick to listen. He was ready. He knew what needed to be done, but he was willing to hear all of the information before he ever spoke. He actually, in a way, it's almost like he left a buffer in between what he knew should be done and what he knew humans were going to do. There's a little bit of buffer, an allowance in order for people to be what? Humans. Scripture actually says it here in Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I think so many of us miss this, just as in Christ God forgave you. If you've really been forgiven and you've really been changed, then this should be evident in your life. This should be evident, and people should see it, that you're slow to anger with people, that you're willing to actually give a little bit of space for what you know is right and what your friends or your family or someone is actually doing. You need grace. And here's what I know to be true. Jesus invited us in even when we were still enemies. And you know why he invited us in and received us and restored us? Not so we could be bouncers at the front of the church. I'm not muscular enough to look like a bouncer. But look, we can't just be good at opening the doors and welcoming people in. We have to be good at being with people, which involves a lot of grace sometimes. Second thing that I think that we need to be abundant in this time of year is truth. You can't have grace without truth, and you can't have truth without grace, at least for very long. You can't sustain it long term. But here's my belief is that I can't continue to grow without being truthful with myself. And I can't continue to grow with others without being truthful with them. And here, I want to read some scripture over you of in Proverbs 28. It says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Here's what I think to be true. I believe this to be very true, is that when I am hypersensitive of my flesh, When I am keenly aware of my shortcomings as a human, I am able to actually give a great bit more grace to other people who are in process. It's this old adage of scripture of you're paying attention to the splinter in somebody else's eye and you're ignoring the plank in your own. That we have to be honest with ourselves and with others of where we are. And we have to allow others to feel comfortable to be honest with us about where they are and not wish that they were farther ahead or not wish that they were a little bit behind, but sit with them right where they are. Hiding keeps you stuck. And if there's anything that we need more of in this world, it is truth, not relative truth, not my truth, your truth, foundational, eternal truth. This is what we need more of. Honesty and truth bring freedom. And there are a lot of people who are looking for belonging. And what they need is not another self-help book. What they need is not a new encouraging plaque that they hang in their kitchen that says something awesome. They need the truth of Jesus in their life. The third thing that, and this is maybe not the most important, but it's definitely the hardest to come by, is time. The most valuable non-renewable resource, time. Here's why I think this is because I believe that change happens over time. That restoration is not a quick thing. And I'm not in any way saying that God can't just miraculously fix something and take someone from 0 to 100. I know that he can and he does. But more often than not, it's a process. And one of the best gifts that you can give someone, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year, is your time. It's your time that maybe people need. We're gonna read out of 1 Thessalonians. Paul says this, he's writing this. He says, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. See, this is what it is for me. This verse really hits me because if all I'm good for is to stand up here with a mic and talk to you, I'm a gong that has no purpose. If I'm not sharing in the lives of people, I'm just noise. This is what Paul's saying. He's saying, look, I didn't just come here so that I could tell you what to do. I came to break bread with you. I came to sit with you. I came to weep with you when you're sad. I came to celebrate with you when you were happy. I came to pray for you when you were in need. He said, I didn't just want to share with you the gospel. I wanted to share with you my life, which if we're believers is the gospel. It should be. Paul shows us, and Jesus even showed us, is that this is not a situation of show or tell. This is show and tell. That our words should be backing up our actions, and our actions should be backing up our words. It's not one or the other. And I don't know what time looks like for you. I know everybody is, it's hard sometimes. I'm actually running out of it as we speak. But here's what I know is that it takes just a moment to change somebody's life. And we're in this Advent season, and this is the most evangelistic time of year. If you're new here, new to church, Christmas is a big deal to us. We have a few services, we have seven. Yeah, I heard that. We have seven services. And maybe what time looks like for you to give and truth this year is, hey, you don't need another self-help book. You don't need to invest more. You need to be in the presence of Jesus. Maybe this is the time. That neighbor that you live beside, sit beside them in church. Just a thought. I want to encourage you, if you are attending a Christmas service, please don't come to this one unless you're registered. I have numbers. I'm not gonna go through all the numbers, but I am gonna give you a little idea of where things are at. Sunday at 4 o'clock, don't come to that if you're not registered for it. That one's packed. Sunday at 6, more than welcome to come to that. All of our 8 o'clock services, we'd love to welcome you into this place at our 8 o'clock services. We'd love to welcome you in. We'll have coffee, maybe, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But look, here's what I know. Is that in a season this busy, in a season this rushed, I know it's rushed. I forgot Friday was Black Friday and I went to Walmart on Black Friday. And we're all a little stretched. And everybody says it every year, well, I'm stretched more this year than I was last year. That might be true. But what I know is that if you continue to live in the mindset that you're stretched, you're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss the opportunity that God's putting in place in front of you to help someone take steps in their eternity with God. It takes a small bit of time. It takes a little bit of truth. not all at once. Don't overwhelm people. But look, if we're to invite people into the family and create a place and be a people that are belonging, that are creating this belonging and inviting people into the family of God, we have to be on charge. We have to be intentional about our words. This time of year, maybe let's take a moment to slow down. Give a little bit more grace. Share a little bit more truth. And give maybe just a small bit of time that can change somebody's eternity forever. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I trust that you have said and done what you've desired to be said and done. God, thank you for restoration. God, thank you that you relate to us, that you swing low to people like us. God, thank you that you received us. And God, my prayer is that this church, these people in these walls and outside of these walls would not just let that restoration stop here. God, that you received us, and so we would leave these doors and we would receive others. God, that you would embolden us to share your truth. God, and we would make much of the time that we're here on this earth. God, we love you and we thank you for the work that was done on the cross by Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all, church, for joining us this morning. We love you. We'll see you next week. Don't forget Advent prayer service tonight at 7:00.